Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Mike Quigley is joining us right now. He's a congressman. He was in that meeting today. He was in that hearing, I should say, up on Capitol Hill, where the former ambassador to Ukraine, Maria Yovanovitch, was there. Marie Yovanovitch. And she was, you know, like the two earlier this week, the two gentlemen earlier this week, she was in that chair for quite a number of hours, congressman. And what was your takeaway?
I think she has an impeccable record. You don't assign somebody to Ukraine who is in the middle of a war with Russia if you're not experienced, with an impeccable reputation. And my impression was that she was ousted because Rudy and the president didn't think that she would play ball, and they wanted to pressure a corrupt inspector general to investigate their political rival.
It was interesting to watch how Republicans handled her in questioning, because they seemed to be a little more pugilistic or aggressive with the two gentlemen, the ambassador and then George Kent, over on Wednesday. But today they were very respectful, almost to a congressman. They were respectful of her service. She had over 30 years in the Foreign Service. She was in Somalia. She was in some of the hottest and most dangerous places in the world, applying her trade as a diplomat. And what I found sort of some cognitive dissonance in was, as Republicans, while they were questioning her and almost unanimously praising her service and her diligence, but asking her questions about whether or not the president could, the only real issue was, can the president fire you? Yes. Okay. Well, then why are we here? That's the way the Republicans were basically setting up their questioning. The president, though, then tweeted about what a failure she was as a diplomat. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I think they were responding to the president. I think they saw the optics of the president attacking this exceptional career diplomat. And they didn't want any part of that, and I think they recognized how poorly that was going. So it makes it a lot more difficult to attack somebody when they recognize the optics here, particularly with the president going after her. Really, you know, a borderline witness intimidation in real time.
Let me ask you about the television ratings, because there is one wonders, like the Kavanaugh hearings specifically had about 18 million people watching. These so far have had about 13 million people watching. I don't know what today will be. We'll find that out tomorrow or Monday. But are Democrats, are you concerned, Congressman, that there may be some fatigue here?
I can't be concerned with that. Here's the bottom line. This is really important. This isn't an entertainment network show. This stuff's important. People ought to pay attention. It's thick. It's nuanced. It's complicated. And I have to have faith that they get that and they want to plow through this. This isn't even as simple as Watergate was, right? This involves another country. Mm-hmm. It involves our national security. National Security Advisor under President Carter, Mr. Brzezinski, said something very appropriate for today, that Russia without Ukraine is not an empire. With Ukraine, it is. That speaks a lot to the regional implications of the security of Ukraine, but also for our own country. So, I suspect people think I was a bit humorous today, was for a point, but it's not to be entertaining. Democracy isn't a spectator sport. You've got to dig in. You've got to understand as much as you can.
Yeah. And before we let you go, next week, more people will be coming up before the committee. Do you think that ever the whistleblower will be before the committee? Obviously, Republicans have been asking. They made a big deal of that today in the hearing. Is it appropriate for the whistleblower to be there, and will it actually happen?
I think a lot has changed since the original discussions. First, the president put the whistleblower's life at risk, talking about treason and traitors, and you know what we used to do about these kind of people? The whistleblower is receiving threats. They're playing a very dangerous game on the other side of the aisle, trying to expose this person. And final analysis, the way I look at it is, if they were investigating an arson, they'd arrest the person who pulled the fire alarm. And that's all the whistleblower did. And the whistleblower's complaint has not been refuted at all. It has only been corroborated. So that person's job is done. If all you want to do is raise conspiracy theories and put this person at risk, shame on you. Let's move forward.
Okay. And next week, what should we be looking for?
I think that you're going to see a continuation of the theme. I think you'll see building blocks on this. I think Mr. Sondland's Ambassador Sondland's testimony will be interesting. He's already amended it once. The testimony that Ambassador Taylor referenced in his testimony will make Mr. Sondland's testimony even more fascinating.
And will we hear from that person? Will we hear from Ambassador Taylor's staffer who was who overheard the president on the phone?
It's the answer we give most often in all these things. It depends on a variety of factors. I think the most important factor will be Ambassador Sondland's testimony.
Got it. All right. Congressman Quigley, thank you very much. I know you're running into something. Appreciate your time.
Sure. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye now.
All right. As I was watching, it was a moment. It was a very, very, very different tone because it's funny to watch this. Republicans, I think, realized that they had a very sympathetic witness up there and did not want to necessarily be too aggressive. And they actually had a woman who Congressman Stefanik, who we haven't seen quite as much of, and she was actually one of the congresspeople leading the charge for the Republicans. So I think they wanted to make sure that they didn't come across optically as being sexist or beating up on this woman who was, again, a 30-year diplomat who has an impeccable... When they kept asking her for the purposes of this about all of the different citations and awards she has won from the State Department, and you know that those would be equivalent to honors and awards one would have met would get from the military.
Well, there were some moments where you generally felt sorry for her. Yeah. I mean, put politics aside, the woman just looks so upset. I mean, she's given so many years of her life to this, and she's sitting up there. I just wanted to give her a hug. I'm like, Ambassador, it's okay. She genuinely looked very, very upset.
You know, at one point they did ask her about her family. How's your family handling this? Yeah. And she said she did not want to. Her reaction to that was so genuine, which is she was stunned by the question. And I was like, well, I don't want to get into that.
Everything is so unprecedented. I mean, the whole, you know, Donald Trump tweeting while this is going on and the reaction to them reading it out loud. I can't believe this is the world we live in right now.
And it's even politics aside. I mean, the way we're viewing a hearing.
Right.
And it's like we're watching a sporting event and people are live tweeting it and giving analysis and giving thoughts. It's just everything is consumed so much differently.
I think what ends up happening here, this is what we got a little bit from Michael Steele yesterday, is that this ends within a week or two. The House will vote to impeach him, and they'll send it to the Senate for a trial. And it'll be along party lines, that vote, and the Senate won't do the trial.
Yeah.
And then there will be an election. You'll say, well, there's an election. Mitch McConnell has said this before, right? He didn't want Barack Obama to nominate a Supreme Court justice because there was an election coming up 18 months later. So now with an election 8 months later, whatever it will be by the time the Senate has to take this up after the first of the year, then he will use that logic again. And so that's what it's going to be. And the American voter will have to make the decision.
Well, and you mentioned the viewership down for whatever reason. I think there's a few factors. One, everything politics can just be so exhausting. Yeah. Two, this is an incredibly complicated matter. And three, like you just said, I think we all kind of know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
There is no cliffhanger ending to this.
And so many people have made up their mind already what they believe and what they think is true. And unfortunately, it almost doesn't matter.
Well, one wonders if you get to next week. That's why he brought up Ambassador Sondland. Once you get to next week, Ambassador Sondland gets up, and he was obviously a political appointee because he was a big donor. So one would imagine that, and he originally was very defensive of the president in this, and he had to change his testimony. It'll be interesting to see what he does here. And will there be Republicans who, I'm not talking about on Capitol Hill, because I think that's already, the die is cast there. But I'm talking about Republicans, you know, around the country, the people who are watching this, who, you know, like the way the country's going. They think the president might be a little bit too much of a loudmouth and too much on the Twitter, whatever it is. But they like the direction that the country is going. will they soften on the president after they see what Sondland says? That, I think, is the question, and that might be the risk.
I'm very curious to see what his reasoning is for even getting involved with a country that he's not appointed to, you know, with Ukraine. You know, he was...
Which is not in the EU. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That is... That's a question he's going to be hearing. That came up a number of times. And the Republicans already sort of... They actually did. They tipped their hand in terms of where that's going to go, which is, you know, Ukraine touches other EU countries, and then everybody would be interested in that. So, you know, in terms of their economy and all the rest of it. All right. Well, more to come on that. We appreciate Congressman Quigley for joining us in moments like that. And I like when we see the guys that we know asking questions.
Yeah.
I know that guy. He lives in my neighborhood.
Right, that's the whole idea of Congress. That may be the best and worst part of Congress is, yeah, I know that guy. He owes me money. All right, coming up, I want to tell you about this. Coming up, we go from that to the Bears, and Mr. Hogue is going to be here. We're going to just talk about the NFL for a moment here. NFL had a Donnybrook last night. It was insane what happened in the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game. Now, that's a very well-informed hatred that those two teams have for each other.
Very much. That was the 135th meeting between the teams. A lot of history between those rivals.
Yes. And
very one-sided, I may say.
Yes, that is accurate.
Right. Yes, it is. Yeah. It's not like, you know, where the Green Bay Packers-Bears rivalry, mm-hmm. and they go, oh, you know, after 100 years and, you know, 200, whatever the meetings are, the differential in the games
only
is like...
a few games.
Yeah, three or four games, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just about 50-50.
Yeah, I don't know if Cleveland's ever won that game.
No, with any organization.
All right, all that coming your way. But first, Kim's news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom 2.